Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Drinkers, we are back. It is October 3rd, 7:30 p.m. Central Time, 8:30 Eastern, and we are here to talk about the Lions' insane loss, 48-45, at the hands of the Seattle Seahawks and Geno Smith. And we have a lot to talk about this game, a lot. Before we dive into it, though, let's get to the rest of the Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here. So we got Red Dog.
Yo!
Bob.
Hello, hello.
And Connor.
What's up, Lions fans?
All right, gentlemen. So, the Lions lose 48-45 in a nutty game. The Lions, through the first four games of this NFL season, have scored more points than any team in NFL history through four games, and 11 more than any team in the NFL currently. But they've also given up more points than any team in the first four games of an NFL season with 141, which is 26 more than the second closest, which is the Seahawks. So just an insane dichotomy. That's a point differential of 1 point. And yet the Lions, you know, with those stats on offense, you'd think 4-0, maybe 3-1. Nope.
Yeah.
1-3.
Yeah.
And that is because of this defense that just is constantly getting shredded. And I think I was asking last week, what do we think about Aaron Glenn? Everybody was giving him like this, like he'll be the next head coach hired hype before the season.
I kind of wish he had been, you know.
And right now his job looks like it's in jeopardy.
Yeah, although Campbell gave him a vote of confidence today on his
He did.
So he said,
for now.
Yeah.
For now. You kind of have to unless you're firing him that day, in my opinion.
It's still early in the season, but my goodness. First of all, do we think this is more Aaron Glenn? Or is it more on Campbell and Brad Holmes? Who gets the blame so far for the first four games?
It's on everyone.
Four games.
I mean, we had one of a second round pick that's been playing the last 2 years. So a little bit's on Holmes. Obviously, you gotta blame the head coach. And I know the personnel's not there, but this whole like man blitz scheme we're doing, I don't know if we don't have the personnel to do it, or if teams are figuring out. I know, was it Rashad Penny that said he like could see the opponent's plays coming? This isn't the first time we've heard this before.
That's so frustrating to hear that again.
We don't have the worst defense in the league on personnel. I don't believe that. We should be at least in the 20s somewhere. This is crazy.
Right, like last year, when our offense was really struggling, it seemed like our defense was keeping us in games a lot of times. They were struggling at times too, but they would get stops, and we always felt like if our offense could just do a little better. This year, it's like
our defense was pretty horrible last year, though. Too, don't you
know? No, it wasn't great.
Yeah, it was not a good defense last year.
But we were like worse in the league, weren't they? I think we were the worst last year, and we're still the worst.
We got worse. Yeah.
Like, but we're getting worse is the problem. There's no signs of improvement.
We weren't giving up these kinds of scores
for
this frequently last year. We weren't. Like, we did a couple times, like the Eagles and someone else, but like we weren't giving up like 30, 40 points consistently.
Yeah.
But besides one good half against the Commanders, who have shown to not be a very good team offensively, this defense has gotten shredded.
They still gave up their points against the Commanders.
Yeah, I thought the Vikings game they played decent for a good portion of the game until they collapsed at the end. But fourth quarter.
But even in that game, the run game was extremely effective for the Vikings. And if you go back and watch the film in this one, it's the same things you see happening. The defensive end, like Hutchinson, just getting washed down, leaving the linebacker kind of to make a godlike play on the running back. And
yeah.
I
don't like what I'm seeing out of especially the run scheme right now. It's not pretty.
Or the
pass. But see, to go to your question about who to blame, I mean, like, like I said before in the last podcast, we're going to have to have a great offense because our defense is going to be terrible all year. That's what I thought, because I think our personnel is not very good. But having said that, I think Aaron Glenn's got to take some of the heat, because in that game, Geno Smith's doing those bootlegs, rolling out to his right, and it worked every time.
Every single time.
Every time.
Never, no adjustment.
No, there was one, you guys. And I know this because I highlighted it to Connor in the text thread. They played textbook contain. They rolled out. They had a guy spying White, and then they shut down his options. And then the very next play, they broke off like a 60-yard touchdown run. So it was a great adjustment. Just in time.
I don't think they were adjusting. I mean,
no, they
maybe
weren't.
Did
overall,
for that play, whatever. But the adjustments are terrible, and they couldn't stop a run when you know they're gonna run. And on the third down, when he gets a 40-yard run at the end of the game, I'm like, come on.
Yep.
It's like, it doesn't seem like they have the secondary for this man coverage they do. I mean, Amani's been terrible this year. Akuda's
been really bad.
Akuda's,
he's arguably the worst quarterback in
the NFL. He is. Was PFF the one that greeted him near the bottom?
He's worst on PFF, but I don't think PFF needs to tell you he's been horrible.
I also don't even know. There's been a lot of complaints about Hutchinson using the 3-point stance instead of the 2-point stance. If you watch him at Michigan, they made that adjustment, putting him off the edge, and he had great success with it. But now they've reverted him back to like what he used to do at Michigan, and it's not working for him.
We should at least see him try it.
Well,
so I mean, let's go to what Campbell said. They're going to reassess everything from top to bottom. That included today them saying they're probably going to use Hutchinson in different ways than they've been using him through the first four games. I don't know if that means lining him more inside. Maybe I don't know what that means exactly.
In defense of Hutch, though, he, you know, if you look statistically at what Myles Garrett did his rookie year, and some of these guys, they didn't get double-digit sacks, and he's pacing along as far as tackles and sacks right now with those guys.
And Hutch is leading all rookies D linemen with pressures.
Yeah, and he did get some. He hit the quarterback twice. I mean, I'm not saying he had a great game or anything, but I don't think he's the problem. But you can't rely on a rookie to be the answer for the defense.
Right.
You
know? No. I was just wondering if we're putting Hutch in the best position to succeed.
Like we were talking about before the season, how this line is undersized, and I think it's
losing the commish hurt.
We're seeing that here, you know.
Yeah, we're thin. I think we're a little better on defense personnel wise than you. Maybe your assessment, not much, but like we're so thin. Like we brought in a guy like Kaminsky, and he was having fabulous results to start the season, and then he goes down, and suddenly that effectiveness sort of disapparated with him. And like that fourth, I feel like that, especially that fourth spot, like Harris could probably be upgraded with a more elite talent, and McNeil hasn't really popped, but I don't think he's getting enough help around him. And then obviously Hutch, but that fourth spot right now is just so, it's weak. We don't have a dog there to fill that spot. Like all those guys are at best rotational guys.
You know that we don't have the depth when guys like Hutchinson are playing 81% of the snaps. Charles Harris is playing 79% of the snaps.
Yeah.
Ali McNeil is playing 77% of the snaps.
And Brocker has played like 43% of the snaps. He's like a ghost out there.
Oh,
you know?
God, yeah.
I mean, so I know they brought him in there because liked him, but I don't think that was a good get for them.
Same. I mean, I've been saying that since pretty much last year. And coming into this.
Remember,
year,
I hope I used my preseason cut.
And Anzalone was starting to flash a little bit the last couple games, but he seems to have reverted back to being exposed for, you know, being a little slow out there, and you know.
And Derek Barnes is not panning out. I mean, he only played a third of the snaps in this game.
Yeah, he made a tackle though. I heard his name once.
They have no faith in him. Chris Board, who is our top rated linebacker the past few weeks, hardly played in this game as well. He only came in when Rodrigo got injured near the end.
Yeah,
he's more of a special teamer guy, but I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's frustrating.
I do think this team is, I ultimately think it's struggling a little bit on talent, but the answers that Aaron Glenn is trying to find to make up for the deficiencies are not very good. And maybe, you know, he gets a little bit of a leeway here. I mean, a lot of people didn't see this season as a, you know, a real like contender season. I, you know, obviously they weren't on this podcast, but
yeah, but the Lions defense is supposed to be like attack, like Connor was taking man blitz,
right?
A lot of blitzes, get some pressure. They're not getting the
no,
pressure.
We're not.
They're getting burned. So I mean, I'd rather just see them play like a bend don't break defense, let them march it down methodically, and hope that they make. I'd rather see that than like a giant 40-yard
possibly
giving up constantly.
I don't think they have the personnel right now to do it. Aaron Glenn's trying to do. I mean, they need a better push just with the four man rush, you know. Mm-hmm.
But that's on Glenn then. The,
well, or that's
no,
on
personnel.
Yeah, but
well, it's on Holmes. So yeah.
Well, look
yeah,
at his last
Glenn
two second round picks.
Is.
Well, yeah, this. Well, sitting. Pascal's gonna come back though. So, what I would say though, we were in a rebuild. I mean, looking at the Kool-Aid side of it, our offense 2 years ago was ranked 21st. Now we have the number one offense in the league, scoring and yardage-wise. Number one in the league.
Williams.
Which is pretty amazing. Yeah, undermanned, too. We're missing three of our top players.
Three receivers, linemen.
Yeah, and we still have Jameson Williams coming up. So the future looks bright for the offense. So hopefully next year, you know, the defense gets all the love, you know, for building.
And I think it looks bright there, too, future-wise. Like, I mean, you got Hutch, Rodrigo. Like you got some pieces already, and we're not like totally deficient. Okuda, like I feel so good to be saying. I know he struggled in this game, but I'm not gonna hold that against him. That was bound to happen. It's the NFL, and finally he faced a dude who he just can't bully. Freaking Metcalf's a monster.
Yeah.
So I mean, like I love some of the pieces we have on this defense. They just need a McNeil. They just need some help. Like Charles Harris is a solid edge guy, but if he's your number one opposite of Hutch, I think you could do a little bit better. Get like a true number one there to go across from Hutch. So I think I like a lot of what we got going. Future wise, absolutely. Just this year, we're so thin.
And the linebackers, you know, as fun as Rodrigo is, you know, he shouldn't be one of our best linebackers. I don't know. It's frustrating.
Yeah,
frustrating.
It's a dose of reality. Give me the Kool-Aid. Hold on, guys.
Yeah.
What do you think? You think Aaron Glenn would be able to scheme up one stop on defense at some point in this game? You just can't put your team in a position where you're on 3rd and 20 and the draw play as nobody within like 10 yards of the running back is really really bizarre. And like here's a great example on the quarterback draw for Geno Smith. He's run the ball like 3 times this year, but. Regardless, there was nobody over the middle of the field besides one linebacker and our 2D tackles. Completely outmatched, just lining up wise.
And there was another copy and paste play that we've seen all year where whoever it was, Hutch or somebody, gets a great rush and they're pushing him, and then quarterback White steps to the side, runs for an easy first down. It wasn't for 30 yards this time, so that's improvement. But it looks so familiar. It's like, when we're getting burnt by the same stuff over and over again, that's where I get really hurt. Like, I understand we got to make up for some deficiencies, but don't let them burn you the same way, you know, twice, let alone, I don't know how many times that's happened already this year.
Yeah. I think we missed Tracy Walker, but, you know, we shouldn't be able to have that big of a drop off from
Tracy
Walker.
Tracy Walker. Kirby Joseph had a rough game in this one, too.
I mean, Kirby, I think, is a developmental guy, and he had to step up today, so it's like a tough assignment.
They had an open competition this week with him, Hughes, and Iffy. Apparently, Iffy is just really bad.
What's up with him?
Practice, because he can't even get on the field, and he's perfectly healthy.
That's too bad, because he was promising last year, I thought.
But didn't they move him away from that man corner where he looked like he was starting to come on? Like the safety and stuff?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But did you guys hear what Dan Campbell said when he was his explanation basically of all of it? Because I know it's so hard to give answers to what it's obviously a holistic sort of thing. And he was talking about how on defense especially there was a lot, and this goes to personnel, a lot of people trying to do too much, not trusting each other, trying to compensate for each other. And that's always a sign of bad defense when you guys can't trust each other to, you know, cover their jobs, cover their responsibilities, because as soon as one guy covers another guy's and his is left uncovered. And that's kind of what he's talking about. But then that's coaching 101, really, isn't it, to some extent? And personnel. I don't know, but are we that bad?
Yeah, I don't know. It was frustrating because the Seahawks are not like a great offense, but they were.
They're not.
The number one quarterback of the week was Geno Smith, and number two was Jared Goff. So it was like quite the shootout there. But
yeah,
at least they made it entertaining, I guess. But
yeah, so I mean, let's go to the other half. Offense. So I mean, the Lions missing top two wide receivers, our top two starting off the linemen. I mean, Big V's out the. They're most likely out for the year, not the regular season. And then obviously Jonah Jackson with his finger. So we're playing with a kind of a hot, and Swift is out too. So we're playing with a bunch of backups on offense, and they're doing their job exceedingly well.
Yeah.
Scoring 45 points. Obviously the one big bugaboo coming out in the second half with the pick six. That was not good, obviously.
Hey, what do you guys think about the guy I've been pushing him to re-sign all year? You guys are questioning is TJ Hockenson. And I think he showed up big.
He had a career day.
Well, he definitely showed up.
Best game of his career.
Game
one.
They needed him to step up, and he stepped up.
He's so good. Absolutely. The only tight end with more yards than him is Kelsey. So,
hey, Bob.
For the year.
So I said this just a thread. The more you text that, the closer and closer I get to coming on board.
Yeah.
I keep seeing it, and I keep seeing it because.
Not only did he break that, he was a key block on one of those big runs too, and and that 2-point conversion that guy can catch, man. I'm telling you
that he stepped up when everyone else went down. Like he showed he could be a primary weapon, and I mean he's shown some flashes of that, but this was like when he really was needed to be leaned on. He was leaned on effectively, and that's exciting to see.
For him. And that's what you need from like. With the Rams, I mean, this is an extreme example because they just won the Super Bowl. But in the big games, you need your big players to step up. And he was called to step up, and he stepped up, you know. And we need, other big guys to do that. So
Jamal, I thought, did as well.
Oh, yeah. He was awesome, except for those two weird drops he had. Which he was wide open, right in his hands.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
He had a sweet run. What was it, 50-yard run?
Yeah, he shows that stiff arm. Oh. I love to see him because, like UJ talked about, I hope he plays good enough to stick around. And if he keeps running like that, he's going to have a place on this roster.
Hell yeah. And then, while Swift is, still getting himself together, they can limit his runs,
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to work him like a workhorse because he's 1A is pretty good too. So,
yeah.
Absolutely. And Josh Reynolds stepped up again in this game. He's having a great season.
He's officially grown on me. Like I wasn't quite sure, but now I'm in.
Him and Goff have a great connection together.
Oh, yeah.
Really good timing. Really good chemistry out there.
They do.
So keep taking that over on Josh Reynolds' receiving yards, right, Connor?
Yep, it hits every time. It was higher this game. It was like 52.5, I think, which makes sense because
still hit it.
I like seeing him as a red zone weapon.
Josh Reynolds, nicknamed Kennedy 7-Eleven, because you can always rely on him. He's always there.
Yeah.
But
and he did in this game. Three catches, 54 yards, a few clutch third down receptions in this one.
Yeah.
No, he looked good. This was his best game, maybe. He looked good.
Well, he got his opportunity.
Well, that's the thing. Like, honestly, he's dropped a couple opportunities this year, but he's been like a reliable valve from time to time. But no, I honestly think he's made a good bid to replace Chark as number one right now, because Chark has not shown me a whole lot yet.
I don't know about that.
Chark.
Are you talking about Reynolds?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought you were talking about Kennedy over Chark.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Reynolds. He's looking like a stud. He's looking like a true number one.
I got you. Okay.
Like he showed last year when he played that role for us. He came in and opened up our whole offense for St. Brown.
Yeah.
St. Brown's our number one.
Well, I mean the number one in the traditional role.
The
number one is your primary. He's like a prototypical receiver who can take off the top or, be at least a deep target on the edge. You got to be respected. He opens it for St. Brown. Like, that's why we brought Chark this year, largely to help open that more as a prototype. Yep. But, he's not far off the prototype, Reynolds. In fact, he has many of the traits necessary. So I'm excited to see him continue to ascend.
He'll get there just in time for Jameson to come in and take him.
Oh, my gosh. Across from him. Across from him with St. Brown in the middle? Are you kidding me?
Can you imagine this offense getting, or adding Jameson? Well, I know he said the past few weeks, but, man, it's just.
Right.
It's really exciting.
Well, I think he replaces Raymond nicely in this offense. Raymond has been a little disappointing, but he's been okay. Like, he's just not. I feel like he could do more with his speed, but
I think he had a drop in this game too, right?
I think so. He's just been.
Isn't it crazy these drafts we're having? We're still scoring like this.
I know.
Largely because
he's
wide open. So,
bring us
I mean,
to golf,
Johnson,
baby.
I don't know if we're giving him enough credit, but man, talk about the opposite and for respective coordinators.
Maybe the Lions made sure he wasn't on Hard Knocks. He wouldn't hide his ass, you know.
Hey, that's what I said back in.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It does. It does.
We definitely showed too much Aaron Glenn on there. We can.
Well, no, we showed just enough.
Yeah.
Take him,
people
please.
Are saying like they know why Deuce Daly's yelling at him now.
That's funny. I didn't hear that.
Oh my goodness.
Jared Goff continues to impress. I know he threw the pick six, which is brutal.
Yeah, that hurt.
That sucks.
End up being the difference maker in a shootout.
Yeah.
He was great though. I mean, when you put up 45 points, you expect to win, and he did everything he needed to do to make sure this team won.
Yeah, his pocket presence is like a complete 180 from
last
year.
Seriously, his biggest.
Yeah.
Extremely impressed. He's like warding off blitzers, and he's not backpedaling like 20 yards like he did last year.
Yeah.
It's like a different quarterback in a lot of ways.
His overall composure is just so remarkable out there. I mean, unfortunately, he still seems to get flustered in play, or like every once in a while he just has one of those drives where he just can't hit anybody. But like he never looks rattled out there. Like he gets a sack, he gets up, he's calm. They don't hit the play, whatever. He's got the fingers up, summoning the next call, whatever. He looks so calm and collected, and then that translates in the pocket. He doesn't look panicked at all.
Yeah, I was talking with Grace today, my daughter, about this. She's a big Lions fan. Was on the Lady Lions podcast. But I was saying how Goff, he's such a California kid. He grew up in the West Coast kid and all that. But he's got the kind of Detroit attitude because he came in here. When he came to Detroit, he kept his head down, went to work. He hasn't complained a bit. And he's a gritty guy, man. I think he's got the grit thing going. So.
Agreed.
Yeah. If he plays like this all year, I mean, I'll feel pretty good about bringing him back next year.
Yeah, we could use those first rounders on defense instead of a quarterback.
Yeah. Straight up for Will Anderson.
Oh,
who's that?
Huge
what does he
difference.
Play? Linebacker?
Linebacker edge.
Oh, that's what we need. More defensive front seven, please. All of them.
Go watch Red Dog. If you don't know him, go watch his highlight tape on YouTube.
Oh, I'll get there. Don't worry. I don't want to go to draft mode yet, guys. Okay.
We'll get two really good first rounders and a second rounder that doesn't play.
Yeah.
And it'll be great.
Oh, my goodness. That is a weird thing.
Man. Sorry, go ahead. Yeah, no, We'll just keep drinking the Kool-Aid on the offense.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say Dan Skipper continues to play pretty well at left guard. Evan Brown, obviously, a much more solid right guard than Stenberg.
Yeah.
Sewell, just go watch his tape again this week. He is a beast. He should be an all-pro right tackle.
Hey, you guys, Connor and I were at the game, but you guys watched it on TV. I was reading about the holding call, and they said it was kind of sketchy, the call. I didn't really get to see it. Did you see when Sewell had the holding call?
Oh, I didn't even know he had.
Oh, yeah. It could have gone either way.
Yeah. One of the writers, I think Meinke, said it was sketchy, but I don't know. I didn't see it.
As someone who watched without sound, can we get a little bit of what happened on the extra play that Philly got? That touchdown?
They messed up the play clock. So they blew the whistle to reset it. Correctly.
Oh, so that's why he threw the ball away in the first place. The play was blown dead.
I read that they realized
Right after they snapped.
Yeah. What?
It's kind of like a live. That's why it looked like a live play, but then the ref stepped in and stopped it.
But they had kind of given up on them. So we didn't really stop them.
You couldn't
right
as a fan. You couldn't hear the whistle though, and it looked like the play was real because everyone was running the play.
On TV,
and
then, it did.
Right? Yeah. On TV, it sounded like that, too. You couldn't hear the whistle, either.
I couldn't hear anything, so it looked very much like a play got beat. We stopped.
But those refs sucked. They were terrible. They were so confused. I mean, that intentional grounding, which is pretty obvious, that's what messed up that play before, because they were confused about, is it intentional grounding? Mm. It was an obvious intentional grounding.
Yeah.
And then they were talking about it, and then they forgot to reset the clock or whatever. I don't know.
Hey, you're right. That was a terrible. Those refs sucked. But I'm glad you brought up that intentional grounding, because I feel like, to bring a little more silver lining to this defense, that play by Rodrigo was outstanding. He beat that block so well with his strength and speed, and then just like Lions wipe freaking Smith's hands or legs out from under him. It was so dirty, and then he threw away an intentional grounding, basically a sack. I love seeing that.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice.
Yeah, he's a highlight. he definitely still a big playmaker.
Special teams turnover.
I mean, from the linebackers though, if you go back and watch, well, I know they're not, you know, maybe the greatest athletes or linebackers. This is where it comes back to scheme again for me. Mm-hmm. Like they're constantly like trying to catch like the motion guy in the backfield, like from the other side of the defense. Like if we're looking at the quarterback from the defensive side of the ball, Anzalone's kind of lined up over the middle of the center. The guy's in motion, and Anzalone is not moving with the running back. He's just staying in the middle, and then he's like expected to cover that guy at times. Oh. And I'm very confused why he's not following him along. It looks like he's in man, but not moving along with him.
Like it's a disguise.
I don't know if they're like trying to disguise.
Something? Yeah.
Yeah, but like, okay. Congrats, you disguised it, but
now he's
wide open.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I'm very confused by what scheme they're trying to pull off.
Maybe Anzalone has convinced him that he's secretly Luke Kuechly or something. I don't know. He's fast, but he ain't that fast.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't think we have the secondary. I mean, I know the line isn't good either, but
yeah.
I also don't think the secondary is, especially losing Walker now, is nearly good enough to pull off.
I mean, it's not like the Lions have not invested in
to
their,
me. It's a Warrior is the biggest
line.
Thing.
They've drafted Levi in the second round. Now Pascal, these guys are broken. They've gotten on the field.
But didn't Caldwell talk about how when he came from the Rams, like injured players were seen as sort of like a taboo. Like you just kind of stayed away from him, and now all of a sudden he's put two straight second rounders. And our second first round pick this year in injured guys. Like, suddenly he's just all injured guy happy, including our tight end, actually. So that's fourth guy. He just likes these injured guys all of a sudden. It's risky.
Well, we can't pretend we're at all mad about the Jameson Williams one.
No, I'm not mad about any of it, though, Connor. It's just weird that he's suddenly taking all these risks. Maybe that's Dan Campbell's effect on him. I don't know. Maybe
I think
as a free agent, that's just the way he rolls. So.
It's tough to remember that from Brad Holmes' perspective, we are still in a rebuild, and they don't feel the need to get guys like Pascal and Williams in there right away. They're willing to be patient.
Anzarique.
We're also missing our top paid defensive lineman in Aquara.
Yes.
We
haven't heard a peep out of if he's going to be playing this year or not after his Achilles injury. Romeo Aquara, that is.
That's got to be even harder on a big guy.
More than a year now after his injury.
Yeah, that's weird. That's a tough injury to come back from. I know Okuda did, but I think that's the exception more than the
yeah.
The
and he's a big dude too. Like sure. It's just different when you're 100 pounds heavier than Okuda. Like, almost.
Yeah,
like that's a lot of force you generate through that ankle.
But Pascal's practicing this week, right? Isn't that what they said?
So,
yeah, he'll be back. So
he might fill the
his
commish.
Big thing is the you know he'll be at work in the pass game, but. His strength is the run defense, so God only knows we need help there. Well, we need help everywhere.
Yeah, the run defense.
It starts at the run defense.
For sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, at least under Aaron Glenn, the run defense has been horrible, and it was with Patricia, too.
I just, like, I'm sick of bringing in supposed defensive geniuses, and then we have the worst defense in the league. It's happened with multiple people.
I think we said this before. Let's get the dumbest guy.
Maybe.
Call the defense.
I just hope they were overthinking it this far and they settled in here. That's the only thing. Like, I know it sucks that we're 1-3 and we've now entered ourselves into like one of the lowest statistic categories of actually achieving anything meaningful in terms of records in a season, like Super Bowls and stuff, because it just statistically is not likely to happen now. But, like, this is still a long season. We're only just under a quarter of the way through. And, you know, this team at least shows a lot of thoughtfulness. So my only hope is that, you know, they can maybe figure this thing out. So, because I don't think you just bail on Glenn either at this point. You have a lot of respect for the guy. Give him a chance to figure it out.
Yeah, halfway through the season.
Like, if it persists, then it's just, you got to do it.
Well, like they said, like Campbell was saying, he's not afraid. I mean, as much as you like guys, he's not afraid to make a tough decision because he liked Anthony Lynn a lot, and he did make the move. But he believes in what Glenn's doing right now, so he'll have a little more time to work it out. So we'll see.
Yeah, what though irked me? The one thing they're going to do to fix is we're going to, you know, simplify things. Not again.
Like, if they just said, like, hey, we're going to run a little more cover three until – you know, we figure out our personnel, I'd be like, okay, that makes sense. But I don't really know what they mean by simplify the scheme. Is it so complicated that they can't figure it out?
Right, like they're making too many mistakes.
I don't know.
It this seems too fun, though, to have to be out of the playoff race early. So I hope they get some wins here.
Seriously. It's 17 games.
It's still a fun team to watch. This at least his offense is a lot of fun to watch. And we have some young. I mean, the Lions have the youngest starting roster in the NFL.
No, they're getting to be happy
so
about.
So please keep that in mind, too, Kool-Aid drinkers. But, you know, it would still be nice not to give up a touchdown every drive of the game.
Yeah. But the league is so much parity right now. If we can keep scoring like this, I think we might be able to sneak in a wild card.
I know. You know? This division feels so open. I don't think the Packers are that great. The
division's still open.
The Bears are a disaster. And we should have beaten the Vikings on their home turf. Yep. Like
one divisional game loss is not the season. That's plenty of
football
to be played.
We can't be giving up a billion points to Geno Smith and making him look like Peyton Manning, though. You know?
Yeah, and the Lions get a Bailey Zappe and the Patriots next week.
UJ's Brian, guy.
Or most likely Bailey Zappe. I think Brian Hoyer. I don't know if they've announced a Hoyer injury. We'll get into that later this week. But actually, Zappe looked pretty decent. And he's the first quarterback to throw a touchdown in this draft class.
Oh, wow. That was UJ's guy.
Quarterback draft class.
You wanted Bailey Zappe.
Yep. And if you look at a side-by-side of him and Bailey Zappe and Mac Jones, they look like the same person.
I saw that on Twitter. That was really funny.
So I think I saw, it was like if Bailey Zappe would be the guy who's playing Mac Jones in a Netflix documentary about Alabama football or something like that. It seemed accurate. Regardless, this is a tough one. And I also had on my notes here, Quintez Cephus, big catch on a fake punt, and he does what he does and gets hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Rudd Dog, you take this one because you are the Cephus slappy in this group.
Suck. He's got hurt again. I mean,
yeah.
I hope he gets healthy enough to come back. I mean, this is a devastating blow to his progress. I mean, the guy's been selling out his body for this team, busting his ass on special teams and stuff, and then he gets his one chance on offense, and he gets hurt again. Oh, it's so frustrating. Yeah, but, I mean, look at that. Even in his little contribution, he still got his two first downs.
Yeah, he did.
I hope he gets healthy.
Jack Fox, nice throw. Good back shoulder.
How about that throw? Man, that was amazing. That was a tough throw. It's tight coverage there. So.
You like the fake punt, or you'd rather we just go for it on offense?
I love the fake punt. Like you can never get wrong.
It definitely keeps teams on our toes, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Because
that's the sort of creativity that we've always had on offense, even like last year against the Rams.
The Lions had a really good shot at that onside kick.
Yeah.
I know.
Four or five chances.
Oh, did we? I missed it because they changed the games at my B-dubs.
Yeah. The refs preemptively threw the flag in case the Lions got it. So they could bring it back.
Oh,
that's why they picked it up.
It was a good onside kick. You gotta get it.
Yeah.
It was a great opportunity.
It was. They almost got it, and I believe they would have won the game if they had gotten it.
Yeah. I honestly thought they were going to get it. Like onside kicks seem much more exciting nowadays. They seem harder to recover than they
technique has improved.
They are harder to recover now with the
technique,
rule changes.
But also, I think the rules where you're not putting nine people on one side of the field has actually helped
the kick
onside kicks. Yeah, because it spreads out the players more.
Yeah,
that's my. I don't know if that's true, like statistically or whatever, but that's what I.
Yeah, well, you can't have that mass of humanity flying down anymore on one side of the field.
Yeah, do you miss the days where people just launch their bodies at, like, full tilt?
Yeah. Oh yeah,
and the guys on the outside kick were just at the front line, were just at the mercy.
One thing I think is interesting is how much they coach or seem to coach like attacking the ball nowadays, when like. Oh, wait, no, I did see it. I'm sorry. I forgot because I only caught the very end of it, the replay, is that the guy dove forward and, like, it bounced off his hands. Like, and the ball might have not even gone 10 yards at that point. Like, I don't understand that strategy necessarily. It's like you're giving them a better chance of actually getting the turnover.
Yeah.
And the Lions are hosting kicking tryouts this week. If you thought Siebert was bad, you saw the alternative.
Yeah, missed extra points, which was crazy, and the kick out of bounds in a dome, controlled conditions, You can't kick a kickoff, you know, straight down the field.
Air conditioning was on.
I was going to say, did they turn it on for the wrong team?
That's true. It was kind of chilly by our seats, so the air conditioning was definitely off.
But that was kind of crazy.
That guy's fired. He's usually pretty good at making sure which team missed it.
But I think we should have kickout tryouts regardless, because it's not like Siebert was exactly elite option.
Yeah.
If you remember the Vikings game just a week ago.
Right. He doesn't have that long leg anyway. I mean, he's
nothing.
Supposedly has it better than our other guy.
But we have to have a good kicker. We've always had the good kicker. That's the one thing the Lions did.
Any former alcoholics out there?
Yeah. Or go back to Jason Hansen.
If we had a kicker and a linebacker, we'd be unstoppable.
That's all we need. Two players. And then we're 4-0.
I like it.
All right. We'll wrap it up here.
Hey, let me just talk a little bit real quick about we were at the game, as I mentioned. Yeah. Jackie, we were with Jackie's sisters. And then
Red Dog.
Sorry about that. Red Dog. Red Dog sisters. And they had made up some Kool-Aid t-shirts that they handed out to some people and some buttons. And they went to the Detroit Cookie Company, which Kelly Stafford had tweeted about in her Instagram. So they went, took a picture in front of it with the Kool-Aid button, and then it made it on Kelly Stafford's Instagram story. So that was kind of cool. Sorry, a little Kool-Aid button on there.
The Lady Lions, Lady Drinkers. Holding it down, baby.
So yeah, thanks for the shout-out, Kelly. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, and in the future, we might be giving out some swag, too. To our listeners.
Stay tuned. Do you think she'll bring us on her podcast, the Kelly Stafford
if
podcast?
She wants ratings, she will, yeah.
Will she bring us on?
I don't know if she wants to hear what I have to say.
She might invite all of us but you.
She heard.
Yeah, she will not know what you have to say about Stafford.
If she wants to be safe.
All right. So I think that'll wrap it up. Twitter at Drinking Lions. Instagram at Drinking Blue Kool-Aid. Thank you to SidelineReport.com for hosting the podcast. Always greatly appreciate that. Go read the articles on there. All the podcasts on there. Subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify. If you get your podcast, please download, please subscribe, and please leave a review. We greatly appreciate that. And thank you. Well, no, also thank you to our producer, Kid J. He is out this week. Connor, you're
Kid J.
I am. I'm editing the podcast.
Under his guidance, under his tutelage.
Yeah, he left a note for me on his computer, so I'm praying that can carry me.
Are you like Kid J's Padawan?
Ooh.
Yes, I'm going to get the little rat tail thing that he has in Attack of the Clones. I'll wear a bathrobe everywhere.
Your headphones actually kind of look like one right now.
Yeah.
That's true. I got the little wire.
Beautiful. All right. So, as always, there's a good place to stop, and that is it. We want to thank everybody for listening. We'll be back later this week with week 5. The Lions are traveling to New England, a revenge game against Matt Patricia. Who is the offensive coordinator now for the Patriots. And that'll be fun. That'll be a lot of fun. So thank you, everybody, for listening. And last but not least, as always,
go Lions! I got a little short than you guys there.
That's all right.
Forward down the field. A charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.